Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I was told we had people here trying to start the feast already. people from out of town. Whew, wonderful. I guess the strongest place that right now that Satan's face is shining is that last news clip we saw there. In Yahweh's house, Yahweh has set a table for us in the presence of the enemies. Praise Yahweh. True peace found here. By the way, this will put a smile on your face. Say cheese. Cheese, you know. We got our original cheese sticks back. Plenty of them. Praise Yahweh. They did a pretty great job on that meal this morning, announcing it, I noticed. The great Kohan Shaul. Don't forget to look up. Not while you're driving, you know, if you're out on the highway, but, you know. Be careful walking, too. But now this week, Yahweh, this was the 30th. This was yesterday. The boys at the priestly school, they came outside and they all saw Yahweh's name right over the campground. In the clouds. In the clouds, they went to screaming and jumping up and down and run back inside, got the teachers, and one of the teachers got a picture. So we got it written. The day, I believe it was the day before that, they saw the word pray in the clouds over the sanctuary, and that's when news went out that Yahshua was asking everybody to pray, and we went on the radio and told everyone this. They all called me to find out what for. We don't want to tell what for, just pray. You know all the things to ask for. Pray for the sick, pray for the protection of Yahweh's work and house. That last article you saw, now I don't know exactly, but one day, I think it was one day last week, one of the teachers went home for dinner and turned the internet on to get the news, and it had the news about Israel. And they showed all of these tanks, and then she looked in the clouds above the tanks, and there was a picture of the face. Now, she didn't need a camera. It was easy to print that one out. So we have elders assigned, priests assigned to bring these pictures during the feast. No one can write in the clouds except Yahweh, and he's given that power, that authority to Yahshua, and I think you're going to see a lot of it now, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. The great Kohan Shaul is going to bring more than this during the feast. Don't miss that sermon. There's a lot on this right here that you need to know, and of course, it will get better as we get closer and to the redemption and the going up to receive authority from Yahweh. That's what we're looking forward to, and especially this feast. Praise Yahweh. Now, this is going to be a working feast. Of course, we've got a lot of things that needs to be done in preparation. And so if you want to, well, you really need to do it. Just find a job. We have jobs for everyone. And even if you're in a wheelchair. Speaking of wheelchairs, the other day, one of the first members of the House of Yahweh, she was in a wheelchair, and I stopped to say shalom to her, and she said, I said your face is different than it was the last time I saw you, and it's shining. You got a great complexion. She said, I've been drinking whey. she said, since I started that, well, she said, my foot is almost well now because she had trouble with swelling and diabetes, I guess, and different other things collected from the world. But she said her foot was almost well now and the swelling is going down. And I said, was that since you started drinking whey? And she says, yes. So remember these things. It's very helpful. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh's way. Yahweh's way. But now the feast work, we're going to have in check with the South office, of course, and we'll have a man that will assign you after he talks to you and find out your skills. And, you know, he'll assign you to a person, a place to work, or create a new job for you, one of the two. And the women will do the same thing. If you're a woman, they'll show you where you're needed the most, and we'll find a place for everyone to work. Praise Yahweh. Now, we've been talking about the face of Satan and the face of Yahweh and for a few weeks now, and that woman. She put on at last the face of Yahweh and was pulled out of deep, dark sin. And of course, she changed instantly when she saw that the prophecies were actually coming true. And she rejoiced greatly in this as I'm seeing others rejoicing now. And I see a lot of that woman here today and a lot of the Yeshua here today that wasn't in the beginning of the work that Yahweh started. If you could see what's going on in my mind now and how we have fought over the years, you know, to get it... to get the sin out of the house of Yahweh, because everyone came here with deep rooted sins and we were probably the furthest thing from Yahshua and this woman as the examples that Yahweh wants in His kingdom, but slowly and surely they're coming out, and the wrinkles are disappearing, and the spots and the blemishes, and we've seen it year after year. This growth, this great growth, and in spite of the persecution, you've come through it, and you've become stronger and more closely knit together in unity with Yahweh and each other. And I see this. I've seen it now for 40 years. Some have been struck down with sickness, and they're still enduring. And that's what Yahweh wants, of course, and still trying, still working in the work, and proving themselves, and very joyous, wearing a smile doing it. Now, what I'm trying to do is get you to see the face of Satan, of course, and the face of Yahweh together, and see the comparison. Because We've got the men have got to be like Yahshua. The women have got to see this example of this of the woman and become like her, because we were all sinners, and we've got to get this sin totally out of our life, and we've got to humble ourselves. And this was the biggest thing I saw in her. I've seen haughty women that it, you know, it's a continual struggle when you're living with one. And I've seen haughty, rebellious men, and that's a continuous struggle. It's a headache. It causes misery and hatred, hard feelings all the time. And these are the things that won't be allowed in Yahweh's kingdom. And he's given us these examples. And now he's bringing it to light, to where you will actually see this in action. And we're getting closer, because Yahweh is actually making contact with us, you know, direct contact. And he's never done that before. But now the face of Satan that we saw here, the last film there, and fighting and killing and bombing each other, and this article, it pretty well lines it out here. It says, according to the German magazine Der Spiegel, the European Union, that's a member of the quartet now, the European Union, the EU. United States, Russia, the EU, and the UN are the quartet that was teamed up in 2002. Didn't exist until then, but they formed this quartet to bring peace. Well, according to the newspaper, the European Union is the most important weapons exporter. Exporter to Saudi Arabia. Now, that's just one they're exporting these weapons to. Of all UN member states, France comes first with Euro. Now, here's 2,000 million dollars. 2,000 million. It's actually over that, but I want you to get that 2,000. Think of a million, and then think of 2,000 million dollars, and remember the scripture that the great priest Timothy gave you, saying the love for money is a root of all evil, and you will see that's part of it. But now this is just the love for money is the carried on the. On the string, you know, carried on the stick that led the mule from one end of the field to the other, plowing the field for the farmer. And Satan says, you can have this great wealth, you know, if you just follow me. That's what she told Yahshua. You can have all the kingdoms of the earth here if you'll just follow me. And well, that's what she's telling all the preachers, and of course they're preaching it. Be like the gods, Yahweh. You can be a son of God, a son of a God, or a son of the Lord, but you have to put on this face of Satan to do it. Well, this is the face of Satan, and of course the European Union is the most important weapons exporter to Saudi Arabia. Of all EU member states, France comes first with the 2,000 million of exports, that's in a euro, in 2010. Italy, you know where Rome sits, right? Italy is in second place with the euro of 435 million in sales to Saudi Arabia. That's just to Saudi Arabia. Great Britain is 328 million. If you remember when I spoke at the UN at the peace conference, and And the man named Bawa Jane, which his name in Hebrew meant gate opener. And he told me at that time that the nuclear sales were like $850 million a year. And he says, there's no way you can stop it. And, well, I said, well, Yahweh has a way. And that plan, that work is going to come about, but not until four-fifths of the earth's population is wiped out to show man what his way will bring. This magazine, German magazine, says by arming the Saudi kingdom, the member states of the European Union are breaking prevailing EU rules or laws regulating the exports of weapons. Notes this Der Spiegel magazine. The magazine quotes the relevant section of the legislation of non-proliferation and disarmament titled Security-Related Export Control 2, Military Equipment, which states, here's what it states, and this is the law they're breaking, their own law that they're breaking. Member states have once again shown their determination to prevent the export of military technology and equipment, which might be used for undesirable purposes such as internal repression or international aggression or contribute to the regional instability. It is worth noting, he says, in this regard, that a large quantity of the weapons sold to Saudi Arabia by EU member states has ended up in the hands of Libyan, Syrian rebels, including terrorists, thus largely contributing to fueling international aggression and regional instability. Now, you've got to remember this because you can see the overall plan of Satan here that is prevailing, and what they're doing for the love of money, the carried on the stick, they are actually selling these things, and then under the guidance of the UN also, or the quartet, we'll see that strongly later, under the guidance of the quartet, they're building up something that requires an intervention of a stronger nation to go in and settle the matter. So they're furnishing the fuel to start the terrorism, to start the Al-Qaeda's, as they want to blame, to start the Al-Qaeda's, and of course, then whoever it is that they want to send in, which is a member of the quartet, to settle this matter, they have to go in and take over the nation in order to settle the matter. And then, of course, they get to collect the wealth from that nation once again. According to the Finnan Cunningham, Saudi Arabia and Qatar, in particular, were also instrumental in driving events in Syria and in Libya, providing financial support, weapons, covert fighters, and student diplomatic backing for the self-styled transitional councils. So they're actually training people, furnishing the weapons, training the people to go in and start the trouble so they can, of course, have an excuse. And this is what they haven't found so far in Iran. They haven't found a great enough excuse to go in and take the land. But according to the the prophecies. They're given authority to do so, and this is the buildup that we're seeing day after day towards that overall goal of Satan that we'll see in Scripture. Interest of the U.S. and NATO, let me read that last part again. Let's see, serving the strategic interest of the U.S. and NATO in the Middle East, serving it. They're doing this to serve the U.S. and NATO in the Middle East. Moreover, Saudi Arabia has also channeled weapons and financial support to Al-Qaeda. Saudi Arabia, who is getting its weapons now from EU and other places, other members, are channeling these, and they know that this took place, according to this German magazine, to Al-Qaeda. Affiliated brigades in the Middle East, Asia, and North Africa. Yes, we're having trouble in North Africa, if you're keeping up on it. Maybe we can get a news clip to show that next week. The German magazine notes that the global weapons trade is booming and has increased by 24% over the last 5 years. 24%. Along with this, of course, sickness and disease, as you also saw. That one little thing, autism disease, you know, that's striking many children. That's just not even the tip of the iceberg. That's what's going on now in health-wise in throughout the whole world. In a bitter irony, now get this, in a bitter irony, the world's top weapons traders, U.S., Russia, UN, EU, and UN. Isn't that something? And this magazine, the German magazine, is actually printing this. In a bitter irony, the world's top weapons traders, U.S., Russia, Britain, France, China, now China is not, but the others are the countries designated under the UN Charter to preserve peace. We got the fox in charge of the chicken house, you see it? And, of course, he's building it up to where they can raid this chicken house. Namely, as permanent members of the UN Security Council. In 2010, the war business reached $1.6 trillion. It's over $1.5 trillion. According to the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute. Now, I want you to go over to Revelation 6 and get this face of Satan right here, because authority was given to them. Nothing is going on by accident in today's world. You have two superpowers working. One of them is Yahweh, bringing his plan to pass. The other one is Satan trying to destroy the plan of Yahweh. And she has a scheme to do so. Yeshua told us this and told us that if she succeeded, then the law would disappear. The law of peace and righteousness would actually disappear. Well, here in Revelation 6 and verse 8, if you notice authority here. I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him that sat upon it was death. And the grave, Sheol, the grave, followed with him, and power, that is authority, authority was given to them over the fourth part of the earth. That word power there, it means authority. It was given to them over a fourth part of the earth. Now, this says they were limited to that fourth part of the earth. They didn't want it in Canada or the United States. They didn't want it in certain other countries. But over that fourth part of the earth, as we see in another place, in and around the great river Euphrates, is where they have the authority to take out, depopulate the earth, and of course take over that wealth. But notice the authority is given to them, that is, this quartet that you see mentioned back here in the first few verses of chapter 6. The fourth part of the earth to kill with war, with hunger, and with sickness and disease, the same under the authority of the beast of the earth. Well, he's speaking about the beast, and like the woman, they're shown somewhere else in the Holy Scriptures. And, of course, it points them out and shows you exactly who they are, where they came from, the 12 tribes they came from. If you go back to Daniel 7, he's the best one here to show. It was shown earlier than he. It was shown in fact, the kingdom that was given to Moshe, the plan of Yahweh that was given to Moshe, altar of prayer for all people, and an altar of slaughter that points out the four horns, which we're seeing here, and that's what they're named later, that Yahweh is going to cut off and cast down because death and fighting and wars will end. But you see here in chapter 7 of Daniel, who paints a picture of the last days up to the two witnesses. And he saw the two witnesses, and the books were closed until the end time for the rest or the finishing of the work of Yahweh. Now get in your mind that the finishing of the work of Yahweh, the finishing of this is to bring a remnant of people to perfection. Now, he has a perfect example and is given unto us in these last days, and this is the only time that it was ever given, in fact, but Yahshua was given as he lived it, and he became the perfect example, and then he went for 2,000 years and judged at the right hand of Yahweh, training for this work, preparing for this work in these last days. If you think it's a simple thing to protect a work in this time of hatred and time of destruction that has been pointed out from the beginning, you know, the trillions of animals that was sacrificed on those four horns was represented, of course, mankind, shedding a life for a life for a sin. Sin is death. It brings death. So we have to give a life for that death we spent. Of course, Yahshua now, remember, he is our Lamb. But remember this great work. Yahweh's work is to bring forth and perfect in this time period. We're it. It hasn't been done before. No one's received this power. But we're going to. Yahweh shows the remnant. The remnant will be first. We're the last that will be first to receive this great power, this great authority under Yahshua now, who, remember, all judgment has been given unto me in heaven and earth. So he is the first of many brethren that starts with this remnant that he is leading in these last days, he being a shining example for men, and that woman that he tells you, celebrate her memorial. That means live it. Live it. Live her life. Become her. And men become him. Well, here in chapter 7 now, if you look at verse 3, he says, "And I saw, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, Well, those four great beasts are shown to us in Revelation 6. No, they didn't disappear. They came up and they combined it and made stronger, and Satan made them stronger, getting them ready to destroy mankind. And we see the four great beasts, and then he names them. And he shows you what they are. The verse 4 says the first. And then verse 5 says the second, end of the top line. And then verse 6 says then another. That's number 3. And then we see the fourth beast that is the last or fourth member of the quartet that comes up, and he's exceedingly strong. He has more bombs than all the others put together. Who is that? It's the great United States, backed by Britain, who still has control in this country. Even though we had a big war and fought and won the land, they're still controlling the country. And then we see also the Catholic Church here. The Catholic Church. Now, next week, I'm putting together this now for next week, but I got articles coming to show you the great leading power and how this quartet actually receives its power from them. But here we see this quartet formed here, and here we see the weapon sales that makes this great nation so strong, through the forced peace that we're under now, that's bringing oppression, depression, obedience by force, leadership by force. They claim they got rid of the dictators because the dictators, you know, they want to get rid of them because the dictators are causing oppression to the people. And then they get rid of the dictators and they have more oppression than they did before. We're seeing from prophecy and from the news media, looks like, that it's going to get really bad in the United States. The oppression, the dictatorship, as they wish to call it. The laws that are being passed to search your homes and no privacy left, taking away your privacies, forcing you to buy this or that. All of these things are a work of Satan to create the incontinence that we see today, the hate and the misery makes life to where people don't want to live. And of course, along with this, you know, you see the pilot who is flying the plane, 16-year veteran pilot, and all of a sudden he goes crazy with his hands on the wheel of a plane. What if he had it on a nuclear bomb, the wheels of a nuclear bomb? And see, this is what I've told you now for years. We see the autism, yes. We see that readily. We see children that's very much deformed. What we don't see is we don't see the things that are eating away the brain tissue or the cells that keep the brain separated and functioning. I know that you know by now, over the years, that the human body is not just one. It's made up of trillions, or you couldn't number them with trillions. It's made up of many, many trillions of cells that each one play a part to make your eyes see, your tongue talk, your lungs breathe, makes your legs walk, your feet walk, makes your feet smell even. I mean, all of these things are taking place. in your body that makes your body a being that can operate. We see the same thing in the earth and the atmosphere, and we see a being that's in command of this right now that created the heavens and the earth and made mankind to operate. And then after his lifespan was up, he would disappear from sight, but he would still be resurrectable, and the same enzymes that was making him a living, walking being in the first place would still be there to make him again, to bring him back to life and give him his body back again. Now, if you can get that in your mind, and then remember all the sermons I've brought on the atmosphere, the firmament, what Yahweh calls the firmament. Now, he made the heavens, that is, in the beginning of mankind's plan, or beginning of Yahweh's work, his planned work, that we'll get a little bit deeper in to make you understand that fully. But in the beginning of Yahweh's plan and the work of bringing it about, he created heavens far out on the end of a Milky Way. If you've ever looked at the universe, maybe if you got a astrology book, I wouldn't get into it too deep, astronomy, but you could see that the earth is way out on the end, almost separate from the universe. It's almost like it doesn't even have any part to do with the universe. It's so far away from the main part of the universe, or the edge of the universe, as science now knows. We're outside of the edge of the universe, and the real universe, the big one, they're saying now that there's probably trillions of planets and maybe some like the Earth. Of course, they don't know they're looking for one, so then go there and start a war. running out of room here to start wars, you know, getting too dangerous. But if you can imagine him creating now out here, way out away from the universe, where space makes safe, and him creating the earth and then heavens to govern the earth. And this heavens that is governing the earth run like a clock, and it makes the hands inside this clock. Every piece is going at a certain speed, a tic tac, that makes the second hand move to seconds, and the big hand move to certain speed, and the small hand move to a certain speed. And it keeps everything in order. Now, in the atmosphere, or firmament, and the earth, Yahweh says by one prophet, he said, I laid out the foundation of the earth, and he didn't call it firmament in that place, but that's what it meant, atmosphere. And he said, when I give command, they all rise up to answer me. So if you can imagine now this being that created this body of trillions and trillions of little bitty bugs that you can't see, you could put 10,000 on the head of a pin and you still couldn't see them, all crammed in together. Now, you can see the body, but you can't see it working. You can see the heavens, you can't see it working, but you know what it's doing for you. It gives you rain and snow and warmth and water and so forth. You can see what it's doing, but it's way out there, and man is yet to even get to the edge of the heavens that control the earth. But we're trying. That is, our scientists are trying. If you go back to Genesis now. So Yahweh has this plan, and Satan is, her face is set. If you could remember Yahshua's writings when he said this, when he said his face was set to go to Jerusalem. Well, that included his plans to leave Galilee and go to Jerusalem and get another portion of Yahweh's work done. Well, Satan's face is set in a different direction, but the plan is right here. It's shown. The first part here, he created the heavens and the earth, and then verse 26, he says, "And Yahweh said, I will make man in my image according to my likeness, and they will have authority." Well, Yahshua is the first to receive that authority. The woman qualified for it, but she hasn't received it. She's dead, along with all the others, saints that died before her, and we will resurrect her. But the authority, she's qualified for it and will receive it because of the last part of her life. She deeply repented, turned to a work showing her conversion, because her works, your works prove what's going on in your mind, your desires and your hopes and everything. Your work proves it. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's exactly what she did. And she worked not only with Yahshua, but she was prophesied to work with those afterwards and did work with the apostles after the work of Yahshua, after his ascension back to heaven. Well, here we see that that's the purpose of Yahweh. And we see the last portion of this work taking place today. In Yochanan 1, 1 and verse 1, we see what's spoken of in Genesis. I will make mankind in my image, and then I will give him authority. Then in Yochanan 1, verses 1 and 2, he says, the apostle was inspired to write, in the beginning was the plan. You could change that to work if you wanted to, and it might be that you'd understand it better if you did. But in the beginning was the plan of Yahweh, and the plan was with Yahweh, and the plan was Yahweh's. My plan is to make mankind in my image, man and woman, mankind. And they can't function without each other. That's the way you were made, to function with each other. The same plan was in the beginning with Yahweh. Now, this plan or work, if you look over with that in mind, look over to chapter 6 now, and maybe this will help you to understand what Yahshua was saying here in chapter 6 and verse 29. When a man comes to him and said, what must we do? Verse 28, what must we do that we might work the works of Yahweh, or help fulfill the plan of Yahweh? And Yahshua says, the first thing to do, he answered and said to them, this is the work of Yahweh. This is the work that he is doing to make people believe in the one he has sent. That is part of the plan of Yahweh, or part of the work of Yahweh, to have the works broken up into different stages of history, here a little and there a little, and each one contributing his part to the overall plan that will actually bring forth a super kingdom that will take sin totally out of the universe. With Yahshua and that woman being perfect examples of this plan. Now, that was in chapter 6 and verse 29. This is part of that work. Now, the one sent in these last days, if you go over and keep these different works now in mind, because go over to chapter 10 of Revelation. Now, he started in Genesis and said, this is the way I'm going to make man. Then in each stage of history, he brought that plan a little closer to perfection. In Yeshua's time, he had men and women who brought forth Yeshua, trained Yeshua. Now that was part of the stage of that plan or work that he's bringing forth, guarding, working to keep it guarded. Then he brings forth this high priest that represents the kingdom that he gave back here in Moshe's day, laid out in detail to Moshe. The priest never fulfilled it. They never became a priest without sin. And that, of course, they saw this. They first had to offer a sacrifice for their sins, their own sins, on this altar with four horns that represents the quartet today, because the quartet is the finishing of this work or plan, planned from the beginning to allow this huge slaughter to take place. So what we're seeing build up now is the finishing of this prophesied slaughter that is going to prove to mankind what sin brings, the least little bit of sin brings. You never hear of that woman sinning after that. In fact, her job, I mean, she was forever seeking to help others. That was her total life after that. She was a worker before that, but it was to a point to where she saw nothing righteous coming forth from the world. This is what you see in the world today. She wasn't for sure that anything would come forth and that the prophecies may not be fulfilled, but she had hopes. And of course, when she saw that hope being fulfilled in Yeshua, she knew the scripture, so you can tell her heart was really in seeing that plan fulfilled, this work of Yahweh fulfilled. So instantly she turned and said, this is it. She didn't look back. It's hard to forget about your past sins, but you have repented of them. The thing to do now is put it behind you, forget it, because you've repented, you're converted over to Yahweh's work, as she did, converted totally to Yahweh's work, and bringing forth this perfect kingdom, which she had a big part in playing in what we're reading right now. In fact, she was instrumental in bringing this message that I'm bringing you, in bringing it about. Praise Yahweh. Well, now, back to remember this now, and Yahshua was saying, this is the work now that you believe into the one sent. That is, into, as she was. She showed what into means. She got deeply in the work of Yahweh and followed this man for 2 years, the scripture showed. Followed him for 2 years before he died and was there all the way helping. Stop this now. I know my time is up, but let's go just a little further here, because now we're in the end of the work here. And this is the remnant that the prophet spoke of, that as early as Genesis, you know, the prophet spoke of this. And then the apostle spoke of it and saying there's still a remnant after us that's going to have to do a work. Well, we see it spelled out here in in Revelations 10. Revelations 10. And we see the finishing part of this work is done right here. The finishing part, if you'll see. But in the days of the voice of the seventh Moloch, when he will begin to sound. Now, I brought you many sermons going back and showing you that this seventh trumpet or seventh Moloch, seventh messenger, is it. It's the last lamp shown on the seven-lamp lampstand. That is also shown in the beginning of Revelations here. And notice when he speaks, when he begins to sound, the great secrets of Yahweh will be finished. That's the finishing work. Now, if you go on down to verse 11, he says, you must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and languages and kings. Well, if you look to the next chapter, you'll see who he's speaking of. In verse 3, 11 verse 3, and I will give to do this work, verse 11, chapter 10, verse 11, to do this work, I will give to my two witnesses to perform their prophesied seventh work. This is it, the end of it. We're in it right now. These are the two olive trees. These are the lampstands, the last two lamps of the lampstand. This is it. This is the last part of the work of Yahweh. And praise Yahweh. I was hoping to get further than this into this work today, but I think that'll get enough to where we can know what we're doing this Yahshua's memorial when we celebrate. And this is the first time we've ever done it right, but we will celebrate this memorial to this woman. Praise Yahweh. And this woman too, I want to assure you, she didn't just begin in Yahshua's time. She was prophesied by the prophets. One of the prophecies, I won't take too much away from the great Yehuda, that's going to, he says he has 300 scriptures, and I said, well, I'm going to give you 30 minutes to cover all of them, David. He's back there right now. He didn't know I could see him, but I can. But anyway, this is one of the prophecies. It's so comical because we have, as you know, we have an abundance of goat milk, and of course we have the goat cheese and one of these prophecies, a prophecy of this woman, a prophecy of you, the donkeys. And me, the branch. They're all combined together. But now get this. This is a little thing, you know, that Yahweh, he does this. He throws these little things in just to let you know he's aware of what he is bringing about himself. And he said, in that time period, and David will bring this out, I won't cover it any more than what I'm doing, but he says, in that time period, when this woman is celebrated like she's supposed to be memorialized, you will have abundance of goat milk. I said, what group of people other than the house of Yahweh reestablished in these last days would fit that prophecy right there? I think they heard me in Abilene when I was praising Yahweh for that scripture right there. But abundance of goat milk in that time period when this woman, Yahshua, and Yahweh are all praised together with your works now backing it up to prove it. as her works backed her up. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services over to the next speaker. I love you.